This episode contains adult sexual material and sensitive themes intended for mature listeners only. Discretion is advised.
Welcome back, everybody. In today's episode, we're going to go over Great Sex Never Gets Old. This is Kimberly Cunningham's book, Health, Hormones, and Having It All After 40. Please enjoy. Welcome to the FastFit Podcast, where exercise meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of FastFit. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are going to dive into Kimberly's book, Great Sex Never Gets Old. If you could tell us about this book, maybe the premise, and then really what we need to know when it comes to great sex never gets old.
So I wrote this book. I gave some talks a few years in a row at, it's called the Second Act Women's Biz Life Con here in Denver, and it's for women over 40, over 50. And I gave a talk about menopause and perimenopause, and I gave one about healthy aging. And there were multiple talks at the same time, and scrapbooking down the hall was better attended. And I was like, do you know, I'm a national speaker. I get paid to go teach other providers how to do HRT, and I'm volunteering for this, and I'm a little competitive.
Sure.
So, I realize, you know, sex sells.
Yeah.
And so the next year, my talk was called Great Sex Over 40.
Okay.
And they canceled the other talk.
Did they really?
It was standing room only. It was, and I said—
Now, was this the same talk, essentially? Just a different title?
The same convention.
Yeah, yeah. And you were good at—
Similar talk.
Okay.
But I realized, you know, humans are pack animals.
Mm-hmm.
We have this hormone that we make called oxytocin, which is how we bond. And oxytocin is the highest in a mom and a baby while breastfeeding.
Hmm.
And it should be, because mom should bond a baby and vice versa. Oxytocin is the highest during a shared meal. Family dinner is actually really important, especially with teenagers disconnecting more and more because of social media.
Yeah.
And they're on their phone instead of in the moment. So we really need those family dinners so that everyone can have that oxytocin and connectivity. Oxytocin is also highest during a shared orgasm. With or without penetration. So mutual masturbation. So long as the encounter, both parties orgasm, the oxytocin is really high and we have bonding. Oxytocin does so many things for your body.
What is oxytocin?
Oxytocin is a component produced by the pituitary.
Okay.
And it's more like a Morse code. So there's intranasal oxytocin. There's all these different ways that people have tried to replace endogenous or the oxytocin we make naturally.
Okay.
And it doesn't really work the same because it's a bit of a code and it has to come out in these little blips and spurts.
Okay.
And like I said, it's like a Morse code and we haven't quite figured it out yet.
Hmm.
And so we want these situations to occur in our lives so we get the oxytocin and then all the health benefits from it. Oxytocin is responsible for blood pressure management, stress management, sleep, mood improvement. All of these things come from and are supported by oxytocin.
Is there some sort of fair link between this idea that longevity is linked to relationships and then here comes relationships and oxytocin?
The Harvard Medical Study started in 1938. Harvard Medical School started this longevity study. The number one measure in that study for people being alive after age 80 was their relationships.
Wow.
Not family. Their connectivity with their relationships.
And do you think that is related to oxytocin?
Oxytocin is you and your best friend having a shared meal.
Wow.
Your oxytocin is sky high.
Hmm.
So sex is a part of that.
Okay.
And sexual wellness is really important. People come into my clinic, not because their blood pressure is high, not because their cholesterol is out of whack, maybe because they're losing muscle. But a lot of times people walk into my clinic because their libido is gone.
Okay.
They care more about their orgasms than they do about their pot belly.
Sure.
And that's okay. We can treat both.
Yeah.
And so that's when we start talking about testosterone and we start talking about blood flow to erectile tissue, which is the clitoris as well as the penis.
Mm.
When we start talking about sexual wellness and happiness in your life, it's a big component.
Can you go back to this blood flow, clitoris, penis thing? I think you worded it a little different last time you and I were speaking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly and I work together too. So I was just, in some of these episodes, you're like, what the heck did Kyle just say? It's because you are also working with me. So anyways, and you've got some cool, interesting—
I do. I have some models today.
Models today. So
we can talk about anatomy.
Yeah. So we can talk about the anatomy piece. Anyways, I probably disrupt your thought on the book
okay.
and this 50,000 foot view. But so here we are, sex health, mm-hmm. oxytocin, the relationships. You're talking about family, getting into the marriage piece here.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when that talk turned into the book, which was so much fun to write, basically, great sex never gets old. And then the second part is health, hormones, and having it all after 40. Mm. And so do we get old because we lose our hormones? Or do we lose our hormones because we get old? It doesn't matter. We don't want to get old. We need our hormones.
And so is it a fair statement? And I've heard this recently, and it's kind of cheeky, but like, if you're not horny, you're not healthy. Is this a fair statement?
Yes.
Can you talk about the libido piece, and that's what's driving people?
When testosterone falls, there goes your sex drive.
But what a great gateway drug to health,
mm-hmm.
right?
When you put testosterone back, you get everything back.
Wow.
You get your muscles back. You get your bone density back. We talked about that in another episode. You get your brain clarity back. You get your blood pressure corrected.
In men and women?
Yeah. Right. And you get your erectile tissue responsive.
Okay.
In men and women.
Okay.
The clitoris is erectile tissue. The clitoris actually expands per capita more than the penis.
What? That's crazy.
The clitoris gets 6 times bigger.
And the penis?
Does not.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. And so this is a measurement. This is sort of a litmus test, so to speak, right? When you're talking about...
If you don't have erections, you need testosterone because you've lost one of the basic components that will keep you alive
right.
and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Do women notice this like men do?
Women notice it way sooner.
Okay.
So women's testosterone, we talked about this earlier, falls off around age 35.
Right.
Men's doesn't typically start to fall off until more like 45.
That's a big gap.
Women's falls off a cliff. Men's slowly declines.
How does this present in marriages and relationships between that 10-year period?
The most common decade for a woman to get divorced, be prescribed an antidepressant, and unfortunately also commit suicide is age 45 to 55.
Wow.
So 10 years of no testosterone, she's probably not functioning well anymore.
Oh my goodness. And this is not even a conversation being, like, I wasn't even aware of this. And the reason I say it that way is I love nerding out on this stuff. I'm nowhere near as intelligent as you are on any of it, but it's something I just follow and read and listen. And this conversation is not really being had. Specifically from this whole, not only, okay, horny is healthy, right? Or your hormones and your libido and you might come in here, but also this conversation on, by the way, there are some specific differences between men and women, and they happen at different times.
Yes.
And so if you're in a relationship, you should be paying attention to this.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
So we want to check, you know, women, we're going to start doing labs at 35, men, whenever they're symptomatic, or 45 at the latest.
Okay.
Start doing some functional wellness labs. But then once we have testosterone on board, estrogen, if she's postmenopausal and can receive it, and both parties are tuned up and ready to go, we want to make sure that we have access to everything we need for a healthy sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone catches testosterone when it falls early on, they're probably not going to go down the road of sexual dysfunction.
Okay.
So erectile tissue, the blood flow has to come in. So we have to have healthy blood vessels that can dilate and actually receive blood flow coming in.
Okay.
But then we have to have sphincter tone to prevent its leaving.
Okay.
To stay erect until orgasm, where that sphincter relaxes and then the blood leaves, the erection is over. So you have to have two components that work. One is blood flow in, and then sphincter tone to prevent blood flow out.
Okay.
Otherwise, there's no erection. So that's the pipes component.
Yeah.
But there's also a nerve component. We have to feel everything.
Okay.
And so the innervation of the area is also driven by testosterone.
Wow.
And then there's a third thing, which is we have to have a pelvic floor that works.
Okay.
So when testosterone falls, if you've ever had a broken leg and they take your cast off and you're like, where did my leg go? Right? All of a sudden it's just withered.
Yeah, just atrophies.
Yeah. So atrophy, we sort of think of as like, oh, it's withering away.
Uh-huh.
Atrophy in the pelvic floor, it falls down.
No. So if somebody were experiencing symptoms like this and maybe they waited 10 years or more, is this something that reverses to the same effect?
Maybe.
Okay.
And I don't know if we're going to get into it today, but there's O shots, P shots. I do, there's different ways to do pelvic floor physical therapy. Mm-hmm. We have somebody we refer to in Denver. I do P shots and O shots. Now, P shot and O shot are trademarked names that may or may not actually be trademarked anymore.
Oh, they're literally called P shot and O shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
So O shot or PRP for vaginal rejuvenation or clitoral rejuvenation.
Okay.
But I don't use PRP. I use exosomes. They're much better. So it's a specific injection series to wake up the area.
Okay. And that happens more when people...
We start with the testosterone.
Got it.
Give it at least 6 months. And then if we haven't recovered as much sexual functionality as we wanted to, then we might reach for some other interventions.
Can you, before we go deeper here, can you go a little bit back when it comes to the couples? Because I feel like I've seen in some people I know, they're in a relationship and it feels like it's a double-edged sword. It's like the chicken and the egg thing. Like somebody might really want to have better sex or to have more sex in the relationship, and the other person might not. And they might actually want for their relationship, they might want to, if that makes sense. But because they don't want to, they're not encouraged to then go do the things. Does that make any sense?
It does.
How would you help our listeners think about that?
So sexual connectivity starts with desire and a want, and that's driven predominantly by testosterone. So the people that you're talking about might love each other very much. Mm-hmm. I have this saying, if it's the end of the day and you're laying in bed and you've got three options, you could watch television, you could have sex, you could have a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
If sex is at the bottom of the list, mm-hmm. I already know you don't have enough testosterone.
Right. Yeah. Which sadly is probably common.
Right. So yeah. Then we should probably get some labs.
Yeah.
But then once the testosterone problem is fixed, because low testosterone is loss of morning erections in men, mm-hmm. and morning erections in women. Women have
morning erections in women.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sex hormone binding globulin that we talked about in another episode,
yeah.
binds up your testosterone.
Okay.
When you wake up in the morning, your adenosine, which is how you sleep, is falling and your cortisol is starting to rise, which is normal. Too much cortisol is bad, but you need some.
Mm-hmm.
So as that I'm done being asleep and I'm starting to wake up process is happening, your SHBG drops out for about an hour and a half. So now you get a boost of testosterone. That is why men...
You being all people.
All adult humans with functioning genitalia and hormone levels.
Right.
So if he or she has enough testosterone in their body to be optimal in the morning, they both wake up with an erectile tissue erection.
Which would be a good time to...
That's the best time of day to have sex.
Yeah, interesting.
So have morning sex.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the best time because you naturally have a testosterone boost. And you naturally have more responsive erectile tissue. The clitoris and the penis are both erectile.
So when a couple comes to you and they say, they might ask a pretty generic question like, how often should we be having sex? How would you answer that?
As often as you like. And it's typically only a problem if the frequency desire isn't the same.
Okay.
If one wants more than the other, we have a mismatch.
Okay.
The first thing to do is to dive into why the one doesn't want more sex. Mm. Is it a hormone issue? Is it a, you know, there are other issues. So we want to make sure there isn't anything physiological to treat. And then sometimes it's a pattern. It's a bad pattern. So sexual wellness is, for most couples, a big part of the foundation of the health of that family.
Mm-hmm.
And the family typically starts with the married partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so that family unit, sexual wellness is a big part of that. If for far too long, that came last on the list. And the only time that was available was at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
When you're already asleep. It's not going to happen. If you go too long not having sexual activity and not having that connectivity, and if you go too long with not making that a priority, it stops being a priority.
Okay.
And then you realize it's been a week. It's been a month. Has it been 2 months? Mm. So that's when, okay, wait, time out. If something is important, you put it on the calendar.
Okay.
I go to Fast Fit every Tuesday at 7:20.
Right.
It is on the calendar. I have two vacations coming up in the spring. I already have booked my appointments for Monday instead of Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's important. I am going to have muscle mass.
Right.
I'm going to live in a healthy body. I put it on the calendar. Sex goes on the calendar too.
Mm, I love that.
Now, if other eyes are going to be looking at your calendar, maybe you don't put Get Your Freak on Friday. Right. Maybe you don't call it something like Sexy yeah. Time with My Hottie. What, like you just,
right.
maybe make up a name for it
yeah.
or something else. But it's on the calendar. There is a really great recommendation for February, not just because it's
Valentine's
Day,
okay,
but it's actually because it's the shortest month of the year.
Okay.
And it's typically the least traveled month.
Hmm.
So February, more so than January, is the best month to put in patterns.
Okay.
Because you're not leaving your house.
Yeah.
Very few people go on vacation in February.
Interesting.
Just statistically.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not fall into that statistic, but in general, in America, people don't travel in February. So February is sexy month. You can't go to the gym once and expect a change.
Right.
You have to set up a pattern. You have to set up repetitive behavior. You have to train for good orgasms. Mm-hmm. So February is a perfect time for that. I believe the airing of this podcast will be after February. So you don't have to wait until
next year. March. Yep.
You can do June. You can do July. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
So the point being here, like,
you could have awesome August.
There you go. Yeah, we could come up with a word for every single
one. We really could.
Yeah. Is that when it comes to a holistic view of health, your relationships, like we're kind of bringing it back to that 50,000 foot view of even the Harvard study there, your relationships, this oxytocin, being bonded with each other, there are going to be times throughout people's relationships as they age, specifically like you talked about 10 years earlier for females than men,
yes,
where things aren't going to always be exactly in sync or in balance. And rather than this being such a taboo subject, it's important to just have this conversation,
yeah,
not only with each other, but also have this conversation with a professional like yourself, mm-hmm, that not only can help get people on the right path when it comes to their hormones and their health, et cetera, but they can also give the advice around, like, nobody I know, right, that would have a conversation of like, yeah, of course you strength train, you practice this thing to get better at it neurologically, and it has this impact on your hormones and your sex health and all this sort of stuff. Oh, and also same with sex, you have to do it, and these things could atrophy, and if not, it's just not a conversation being had, and yet it's a really important part of the full spectrum of health here. So the book covers both the importance of it, some of the physiology here, but then really gets into those different scenarios. Which is great. What is your second book about?
So the second book is called Playing the Long Game.
Okay.
And the same health hormones and having it all after 40. And the second book is really a lifespan versus health span longevity book. What does the data show on how we can live to be 100 in a body that works, with a brain that works, and with happiness in our lives?
Oh.
So we want all three. And so it's chunked out each chapter. You can read it all by itself. So there's one called Nourish Your Noggin. And it's all about how to prevent Alzheimer's. What does the data show? There's one called Measuring Movement. I talk about VO2 max, which we're going to talk about on another episode.
Yeah.
So they're all just different how to eat. I talk about protein and protein synthesis and how we age. So you can really take them just a chapter at a time, and you don't have to read it in order if you don't want to.
I love that.
One of them is called The Crystal Ball, Looking into the Future, and what I think is coming on the horizon and what's really exciting about healthcare and longevity, especially in the functional medicine world.
Wow.
So all of that is in the next book. It's everything I couldn't fit in this one. And it's almost twice as long, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And when do you expect that one will be?
We are shooting for April.
Released. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully a month or two after these episodes are out. Or maybe right now. Which is cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to be ready by March. I love your faith in my ambition.
Yeah.
But no, I could be ready by March, but I'd have to stop sleeping.
Yeah, well, they'll do that.
And there's one of the chapters is called Counting Sheep, The Importance of Sleep. So.
Beautiful. There you go. Okay, well, let's wrap it up this way. Anything we didn't cover today in the book, Great Sex Never Gets Old, anything else you'd encourage for our members or want to say?
Just have the conversations. Talk about sex. Talk to your partner. Talk about what you like. Talk about what you don't like. Talk about what's working, what isn't working. And if it's not working, just know that what we want is we want an expert on functional medicine and functional wellness. And that might not be the gynecologist, because they might not be a hormone health expert.
Right.
So you got to find a hormone expert first.
Yeah.
And then circle back to the anatomy.
I think that's
physiology.
I think that's probably the really important piece here, is that if somebody really finally gets the courage to have this conversation and then say, especially for men, fine, I'll have this conversation with a physician or whatever the case may be. It can be dangerous, because if you chat with the wrong person and they give you the wrong information or don't want to give you any information at all, that's it. That guy's going to shut down and this is going to just get worse. And so I love that advice. Like, make sure you
go to a healthcare provider who asks you about your sexual wellness.
Right.
The reason doctors and healthcare providers don't ask a question is because they don't know what to do with the answer.
Right.
So if they're not asking you the question, that's because they might not know what to do with your answer.
Yeah.
So you want to go to someone who will ask you, how are your workouts?
Yeah.
Can you run up and down a flight of stairs? Any issues in the bedroom?
Right.
Do we have any sexual dysfunction happening?
So it would be a very dangerous mindset to go into, well, I'm just getting older,
don't
so forget
it.
Libido.
Don't ignore it.
You know, I'm in my 50s, 60s, 70s. Maybe sex is just less common. a healthy body should be healthy, happy, and horny, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah, at all ages.
At all ages.
That's cool.
45% of people over the age of 80 are still having sex.
Wow, 45%. That's awesome.
That's great.
But it should be.
I would like to be
what percentage? Yeah.
It should be higher, but you know, like I would like to follow the yes, please. Like
right. Exactly.
When I get into my 80s, absolutely.
Well, I'm really excited about this book. I'm really excited about your next book. Mm-hmm. And as always, really cool, enlightening stuff. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks for having me.
All right, see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Fast Fit Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well-lived. See you next time.